Welcome, listener. Welcome, bold traveler.
Another week, another podcast.
Yep. Another gruesome twosome.
Yep. Just the two of us.
What have you been up to this week?
This week, since we last spoke, was big celebration week.
Mm-hmm.
I had a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I probably sound older. An engagement party. And then I went to a hen party over the weekend. It wasn't a hen party. It's not a hen.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard about this now.
And it was really great fun. Like, it was just lovely. It was drinks and dinner with a really nice group of women. And it wasn't, you know, the classic hen party thing, but one of the, what should we call her? A celebratee? The celebrant? No, she would have been doing it then. Anyway.
The future bride.
The future bride. The bride-to-be. One of her older sisters could not resist a little bit of hen party action. So as sophisticated as we were being, we walked into this very fancy dining room, and on all of our butter plates were piled high with marshmallow penises. But that was the only element of hen party-ness in the evening, and it was really, really lovely. But it made me wonder, why do we do that kind of thing? The stag and hen thing is such a weird, like, why do you need to have... I understand wanting to get together with a meal with your friend who's going to get married. Or do people just... And also, so Connor and I weren't overly enthused about having an engagement party. But we were told that it wasn't really about us and that people wanted to have a party and drink in our honor. And I kind of get the sense it's that way about hen parties, and that people are kind of looking for, and stag parties, that people are kind of looking for an excuse to get dressed up and go out and get hammered.
I guess, and it's like you can say to your significant other, well, you know, it's bloody blahs, I've gotta go away for the weekend. I mean, they used to be the night before the wedding. A friend of ours from the Congo was telling us on his stag party about stag parties in the Congo, and it's often a time for, like, the young man who's getting married to ask questions of the elders, and or they'll ask questions of him. Like, he was talking about, like, they're like, why are you getting married to her? And the young guy were like, well, you know, she's all slim,
she's
and
got
pretty
nice tits.
And the old guys will just laugh at him and say, well, my wife was small and pretty. She was so thin back in the day.
And not so much
not
now.
Not anymore.
Well, I think because it was, you know, like originally in the States, and I don't really know what it was in Ireland, but originally in the States, like, you'd have a bridal shower, basically. But it would be more common for men to have a bachelor party, but women would have a bridal shower, and that was an opportunity for your mother and all of their friends, the elder women, to give you china and serving platters and silver pieces and everything you were going to need to set up your new home, kind of. And you might then have a party with your close friends afterwards where you would get some lingerie for your wedding. But there was nothing like going away for weekends or getting shit-faced or straws with penises on them or anything like that.
Straws with penises.
I mean, I think people do want an excuse to have parties.
To have a straw with a penis.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to drink their cocktail out of a penis?
Out of a cock.
Oh. And actually, those are really... I was glad that we didn't have to put up with those, because I've had those at a different hen, and they're awful plastic things, and they're sort of veiny. Like, it's like, oh, God. No.
Well, see, that was, of course, based on the ancient tradition that the straws were made out of penises.
Real penises.
It's an ancient Celtic
thing.
Every time a princess was getting married, they'd chop off the penises of some of the subjects and use them as straws.
But I don't... I can understand the wanting to get together as a group of women and or men, but it just seems like it's about other things than what it's supposed to be about.
I was yeah, I was standing beside the stag who was sitting on a wall at the end of the night in La Hinch, and he was just saying, "It's just a ritual." It's just a ritual. Over and over.
Yeah. Having said that, though, I actually haven't had a bad time on any hens that I've been on. Like, generally, I've had a very nice time.
I think 2-day stags is a mistake. The husband-to-be of the bride-to-be that you went on a hen for is having a 1-day in Dublin stag. I'm like, I appreciate this.
1 day in Dublin.
1 day.
In Dublin. That's much nicer, and it saves everybody.
It's always like the first night is so exciting, the second night you're just putting in the time.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's just get this done.
Yeah. And you're all feeling awful. You probably are not, but most people are feeling pretty shitty.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
For Shane Stag, in Lockern or wherever we were.
And that was sort of the first of the group of friends, wasn't it? So you had to all
There was Nikki Stag before that, but that was kind of Nikki's best man lives in Toronto. So Nikki went on a stag in Toronto with just him and his best man. So we organized one in Dublin, but it was, that was the first of the kidnapping stags,
which was a
great invention. So unfortunately I wasn't there for the kidnapping, which was disappointing because I had to be at the venue, which was another friend's house. But Robin Hoobs, Nikki's wife to be.
That's all wrong.
Let me finish.
I will grant you that courtesy.
Rory has just arrived.
Interrupting, he was waiting for his moment.
That's right.
Argumentative as ever.
He was hiding in the cabinet, and
I was heard.
Yeah, and he couldn't take it anymore.
No.
Have you ever hidden to catch somebody talking about you?
Not on purpose to catch somebody talking about me.
Oh, but
if you didn't do it on purpose,
then
you didn't do it.
No, I don't think so, actually. No, I've never done that.
Like, when you're a kid, like, leave a tape recording and just see, and then it's just the most boring conversation.
I mean, I probably did do something like that. I mean, I don't recall tape recorder, but, you know, probably did do something.
But you always wonder a little bit, what do people say about me?
I remember being put in timeout. When I was little, always being put in timeout.
The magazine or your family's kind of like bad corner.
Naughty corner.
That's what happened if you were naughty.
You got national publication.
We put in timeout. And it won't be a positive review.
It won't be a good review. So just, so I was put in and the dining room was attached to the kitchen and had a door you could close. So I was always put in the dining room and the doors were closed on both entrances to the dining room. And I was meant to stay there.
On your own.
And I escaped.
Grown-ups, adults are the cruelest. That's so cruel.
Well, it wasn't that bad. I mean,
it's not as cruel.
I probably deserved it. Yeah. And I, so anyway, one day a few times I had left. I went out another door and just snuck out of the house and left. And
that was the hole in your parents' plan.
Yeah.
The other door into the room.
The other door. But this one time I pretended I opened the door crack and then got under the table and pretended like I made an escape, but I hadn't. And I heard, like, and I stayed under there for a long time. And I remember hearing my dad come home and hear mom go, "I think Annie's gone out again, but I don't know. She's been gone for a while now. I don't know where she is. Like, normally she comes back by now." Like, they were on to me with the whole leaving thing. Usually leave and go up a tree. And then I was sitting there and then I started to feel really bad that they were actually worried about me. So then I felt like I had done a bad thing by hiding.
Yeah,
you do remember.
And so you put yourself in timeout.
Yeah, and so I just sat back on the chair like, oops.
I do remember one time before I was 8. I don't know if that was 4 or 7, but before I was 8, because we moved house when I was 8.
That's the mark of your whole
life.
That's
the marker, yeah.
Okay.
It was around Christmas time, I think, and all the Christmas movies were on.
Yeah.
And I was ordered, I knew my bedtime was coming up, so I hid. We had like a big plant in the corner of the room with a big flower pot, and I hid behind it. And in hindsight, I don't know whether I would have just been better off going to bed than like hiding behind the flower pot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's always the way. You think this is going to be so tricky, and then actually, you're like, oh, this isn't fun, really.
Yeah.
Hiding. My brother was a really great hider, and even when everybody had been found, he would stay hiding. And my cousin Nick, who was our babysitter, found a way to get him up onto a high shelf of the linen closet, and then he learned how to do it himself. But nobody knew that he'd done it. He could do it himself. So when we were playing hide and seek, and Nick wasn't around, and we couldn't find Charles for ages, and we were looking on all the levels of the linen closet that he could have reached, but didn't look. Yeah.
My parents have
Jerry.
A dog, Jerry.
Jerry and Mrs. Canton.
Yes. Yeah.
I met the dog actually at Nicholas.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it's that dog, because there was another dog. There's been several dogs.
Yeah.
Anyway, the dog figured out, although it can't do it anymore, but it figured out a way to climb onto the, like, it would be in the back garden, it would climb onto the wall and then onto the back wall and then out. And then it would walk around the block. So you'd hear barking and then you'd have to open the front door to find the dog waiting to get in. What the fuck are you doing? Get in.
It's past your bedtime.
It's past your bedtime.
He just wanted to take himself out, like, yeah. A little magic trick.
Did you?
Now you see me. Here I am.
Did That's you put fun. Him into Time Out magazine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's your punishment. Click, click, click.
So we were discussing a stag before you arrived, Rory. Mm. That was
the party or the animal? The party.
The party.
The party based on the animal.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of deers lately.
Here.
Because I work out at Phoenix Park sometimes.
Oh, that must be nice for you.
It is very nice.
And do they?
You work out by chasing deer.
Yeah, I chase them, and then I chase a single deer until he reaches his pack, and then all the pack chase me.
Yeah.
And you run so fast.
Yeah.
There's none of this. I'm tired after 7 minutes. You know, you just fucking run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it.
The Hunger Games or something.
Yeah.
The Hungry Games after.
But for real.
For real.
Yeah.
So just to finish the story that I was, Rory disputes.
Yeah.
So Vicky raised to meet Nikki in a restaurant, but then when he was sitting in the restaurant, the waiter said, sorry, there's some people to see you outside. So Nikki went outside, and there was Hoobs and Robbie, and he was like, oh, Robbie, how's it going? And they just grabbed his hands, handcuffed him behind him, and then blindfolded him and put him back in the back of the car. So then they were driving around for a while, and they were just having, like, conversations. Hoobs and Robbie just talking about stuff, like just to wind him up there, because at the time they were meeting him, the place wasn't going to be ready and everybody wasn't going to be there. So they were just driving around for like an hour and a half.
Around Dublin.
And just talking about, like, so you have his passport, right? What time is the ferry? What time is the ferry? Because we need to get... And then they stopped at a pub. Or Nikki then, in retaliation, in the back of the car, would like fall over and pretend like he'd been knocked unconscious and stuff. So then they stopped at a pub, and they walked him into the pub, and everyone in the pub was like, thumbs up, like, yeah, get that guy.
It's funny that they could conceivably have been kidnapping him, but
yeah.
Everybody in this Irish pub would be like, oh, good lad, it's a stag.
Yeah.
Well, he might have struggled a bit more, but they gave him a pint and then put him back in the car. And as they were putting him back in the car, this old woman drove up and was like, what are you doing with him? What are you doing with that? You let him go. You've got to let him go. And Robbie, being the calm person he is, just turned around, shut the fuck up. So she called the guards.
What? Really?
Yeah. And then, like, the guards didn't arrive. Basically, they were like, yeah, it sounds like a stag, Mrs. Piss Off. But they rang. She got the license plate. So they rang. It was Robbie's dad's car. And anyway, he just had to explain it. Oh, it was just a stag. But that was it.
Now you bring up a good point, Danny. They're like, America... That's a completely different...
No, you'd have the FBI in
FBI would be out of command. Like, you'd be in for questioning.
Yeah.
You'd be detained.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They would take your passport.
Not speaking from experience here now or anything like that, but...
it's a mystery.
Not pretty.
It's a mystery. Then I was going to speak from stags to weddings.
It's a natural progression.
I was telling these amusing wedding stories yesterday to somebody, so I thought I might tell them to you. So a friend of mine and Nikki's and Hoobs's and Robbie's, Joel, is getting married, was getting married several years ago in St. Louis. in the States. And Hoobs and Robbie went over for it, and they were part of the groom's party. They were, you know, whatever the fuck the term is. And groomsmen. And so Joel and his wife were getting married in a park. So they arrive to the park. They get a taxi from the hotel, Hoobs and Robbie and a couple of the other lads. They arrive in the park, and they're like, it's a beautiful sunny day. They get out, they're looking around. They're like, oh, this is, wow, this is great. Look at this, look at this. Oh, yeah. And then Hoobs comes over to Robbie, and he is ashen-faced. He's just, like, gone white. And he just says to Robbie, I left the rings and the wedding certificate in the car, in the taxi. And so, like, Robbie's like, oh, okay. And it just kind of goes around all of the guys at the thing. So Hoobs has left the rings and the marriage certificate in the taxi. And it wasn't like a taxi that they booked or anything, so they had to ring round every taxi company in St. Louis to try and find the place. And on the way there, as they were in the taxi, the taxi driver just had been talking and talking and talking, and Robbie, being the sensible man who was just shouting at an old woman in a car, just told the guy, listen, do you mind shutting up? Because we're just trying to relax here and have a good day. So we'd already pissed off the taxi driver, who now had all the stuff. Anyway, the taxi driver turned up, and he brought the stuff back. So it was all
fine.
And
then he was made best man.
Do either of you have a story about a stag that went so bad that the marriage didn't go ahead?
Oh.
That would be a good one. I don't.
Oh.
That would be a good one, though.
Weird.
You know, like, probably because the strippers were hookers or something.
I don't think that's occurred.
Is that why you're not married, Mark?
That's why.
I've had romance in your past.
Five stags now, and Jesus, every single one. I'm like, well, I don't normally drink, but I suppose it's my stag. So let's. What's the worst that could happen? I was on a stag once, and I think the father of the groom. No, they weren't. One of the guys was talking about another stag he was on, and the father of the groom and the father of the bride hadn't come to the stag, which is often the case. But he was just talking about, he was like, yeah, like, just, you know, it's just different for that generation. Like, they just, you know, they just wouldn't get the idea of a lesbian sex show. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I suppose it's just a generational thing. Yeah, I suppose that generation, yeah, they just don't really get that kind of thing, yeah.
Who doesn't get a lesbian sex, though? I don't know anybody.
Certainly
love
happened
that
on the hen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what.
Did you make the joke on the hen? We had a joke the last day.
Oh, no, shit.
That I was going to arrive as a stripper.
You should, when you see her this weekend, you should say, Annie, I'm so pissed off at Annie, I can't speak to her. She would not let me show up. That's a stripper. I know you would have loved it. So,
yeah,
I'm going to do
go.
It for you here.
Yeah, here we go.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, listen, Brina, Mark is trying to get a bit more money, and so we said we'd let him do his, you know, he really likes dancing, and so if you don't mind, he's going to wave his Julius in your face.
For a tenner. Starting off, you know, you have to say.
It's the friends and family, right?
Yeah. Introductory 2-for-1 deal.
It's the friend's face rate.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, nail strippers, I don't know. Been around them. Not interested.
Have you?
Once in college, we thought it would be funny to get our friends a stripper to our dorm room.
A male stripper.
Yeah. And
okay, I'm interested in this. Just out of for scientific curiosity, right. Like what happened?
So he walked in pretending to be security.
Sure.
Obviously. I mean, it could have been a pizza guy. Yeah. Me pretending to be security instead. I probably think there probably was a choice. I didn't book, but I assume there was some kind of choice. And we were having a party in the room anyway, and we were all underage. We weren't supposed to be drinking.
How many of you were there?
I'd say there's about 8 girls, maybe 9.
Okay.
And there's tiny dorm rooms with, like, you know, and it's freshman year of college. So there's 3 girls in one room, kind of, you know, one bunk bed and then another bed. And
sexy, yeah.
3 desks, yeah. And so
we wonder where the lesbian sexual industry comes from.
Yeah.
American
and
dorm rooms.
All the boys' rooms were like that too. It wasn't just the girls' rooms.
Sure. They all had three women in there.
And actually, we had co-ed bathrooms as well.
Showers or just?
Yeah. Everything. Co-ed. Like you, like they
but
there
were individual stalls.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
I had a picture of
a dressing room, you know, where you're going for like six hours in a row, you know, after a match.
Yeah, I know why you think that, yeah.
Anyway, continue.
So the guy came in and like really half-assed. Like if you were a stripper, you would not want to be called to a freshman dorm room on a Friday night. Like that's not great.
Your career isn't so great, you know?
Yeah, you're kind of, and also like we would, didn't go to college in a city, so this is, you know, like between cities in a small town where it's really mostly the college. Anyway, he didn't do a great job pretending to be security. He mostly just put his boombox down and started playing music and then just started like, and within the minute, all of his clothes were off. He's in a white satiny.
Completely naked or boxers?
White satiny G-string.
Okay.
But you basically see everything because it's a white satin G-string.
Sure.
And Dino, it's just not.
This isn't an indelicate question, but I feel it should be asked. Did he become aroused?
No.
No.
Did he become aroused?
Yeah.
No, nobody did.
Nobody did.
Nobody did. It was more like we all thought it was hilarious, and then it's like, oh, he's still here. Oh, he's still dancing. Oh, Jesus, we paid him for like 10 minutes. He's not going to leave.
Yeah.
This is so awkward, was mostly the feeling. Mm. Like, and I was like, thank fuck I'm on the top bunk. Because he was like, you know, I was like, I don't want to fucking him. I don't want to touch him. Oh, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I feel like if it was the other way around and there was a disappointing female stripper coming to a room full of guys, even as disappointing and as shitty as she would be, the guys would still be like, yeah, fair enough, we have another 90 minutes left. Let's keep looking at her.
I've seen a disappointing stripper and it was...
Disappointing.
It was at our friend Davey's like birthday or something, and yeah, this lady comes in. She wasn't particularly attractive, and then mostly got Davey to strip,
which is nobody wanted to.
No, really did not. It was all like getting your knees now. Take all your clothes off.
I do have one story.
Really embarrassing him.
I do have one story about being lured when I was a young, gullible greenhorn, about 20 or 21.
New to the stripping industry.
New to the stripping industry. No, I was in and I can't tell the story because it's just, anyway. But I'll give the parameters of the story. I was going back home to Ireland, to Cork, via London, where my sister lives. And I was just walking around London town on a Saturday afternoon, and I found myself in Soho, and this woman lured me into a strip joint, and under false pretenses.
What were the false pretenses?
What did you say?
I can't say.
Free lunch? No, you have to say.
I've started digging a hole, and I should just stop and put the shovel down. But it ended up she lured me in under false pretenses that. She was saying that there was a £5. Oh, I'm keeping on digging. I just can't stop digging. £5 lesbian sex show.
Okay.
And I was like, no, that's clearly too low of a price. But she kept on being insistent. And, you know, I would check out music. I'm a curious type.
He said, I've got nothing else to do for the next 20 minutes.
You
want to
experience the local culture.
Yeah, exactly. So eventually she succeeded in luring me into this establishment.
Yep.
And
was she good looking?
The woman on the door, I think she was okay.
Did you have big tits? Like what?
She
was. What made you sort of trust? I know, but like what kind of made you kind of
her insistence? Because I was like, no, that's clearly. I can't remember my exact words, but I was like, clearly that price is way too low
for something that great.
Yeah, and she was like, she was so insistent. So I was like, fair enough. We have a verbal understanding. Mm-hmm. And then I went into this place, and there was this like sign on the wall. Almost out of eye shot, with tiny, tiny, tiny print, which was turns out a contract that you were then obliged to buy a drink, and the drinks were all like £300.
Oh yeah.
And but the woman who was walking around, who was going to be in the show, was not attractive either. And then I had like five people surround me and basically kind of like.
Were you the only one in there?
Yeah, I was really fucking scared.
So did you have to pay like tons of money?
Not as much as I wanted, but. But it was, yeah.
That sounds like, that is really scary because it sounds like these things. So when you go to India, and I was traveling alone in India the first time I went to a town which is known to be very spiritual town, and you can do a thing where you go down and you throw some rose petals into the water and say a little prayer and then, you know, come back up. But obviously there are people hanging around there who are like, I'll show you how to do it, I'll do it, blah, blah, blah. And I was definitely manhandled down the steps with a plate of like rice that meant this and rose petals that meant this. Mm. And it's all kind of like, this means this and this means this and this means this. And it's like, okay, okay. And then they tie a little thing on your wrist. And by at the end of it, he was like, okay, now you have to pay something like, you know, 800 rupees for your, all your wishes to come true.
How much like, would that be around?
It was more than that. Like 800 rupees, probably like $10. Okay. But it was more than that. It was like $20, which is not an obscene amount, but it was definitely more than that.
Probably a lot.
Yeah, and more than I wanted to pay for throwing some stuff in a lake. Yeah, so it does make you feel really nervous because you do feel like you can't get out of there.
Well, I physically couldn't because the door was blocked off and there was guys, there was like five guys around.
How
me.
Much did you end up paying?
60 quid. Yeah.
That's okay.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of bullshitted my way out of it. I said I was going to go to an ATM and get more money and come back. And they eventually let me out. I, of course, didn't.
Yeah, well, they kind of hold you hostage. I mean,
what? Yeah, that's. I mean, yeah. If they hadn't let me out, that would have been the way you would have gone. Yeah.
Wow.
There's a racist old man I know who.
There's a what?
Sorry, no. It's
what did you just say?
Racist old man.
Oh,
yeah, that's
said,
not right.
I thought you said rapist old man. So racist is actually
racist
a lot
step
better.
Up, step up.
Yeah.
No, he's. It's not really about that. But he's. He used to be a travel. Salesman. What do you call that? Not a travel guide.
Travel agent?
No. Travel agent, yeah. And he had a pretty good tip for avoiding tourist traps and, you know, endlessly having people come up to you is just go into the shop at the start of the day, buy the local paper in the local language and just have it under your arm the whole time. You won't understand a word of it, but then they'll just be like, oh, no, it's you know, there's no point in going up to that guy.
A really good idea.
That is a really good idea.
But it's very hard in somewhere like India when you look like me.
Yeah.
To not.
Still.
Even if I had a Hindi paper under my arm.
People could believe, oh, she must have been here for years. Like,
yeah.
Or something,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
They wouldn't believe you're Indian, but.
At the very.
I mean,
what
I could.
Saying? I could be Indian if I want.
I could pass for anything, obviously.
For anything,
yeah.
Yeah,
you're fairly.
Multi-ethnic.
But actually, a few times when I was in India, my last name, being Gill, is a very common Punjabi name. No, just Gill. It's a very, very common Punjabi name. And
is that because of the British influence?
I don't know. No, like Dill and Hill and Gill like are just, it's a language thing. And Gill
they
means...
They must have the best limericks over there.
Yeah, big time. But Gill means, I think, like something like to talk thoughtlessly or something like that, which actually suits a lot of my dad's family like really, really well. Like we do love to talk. Anyway, and most of the Gills come from an area where a lot of people are fair-skinned and have green eyes. So like I would make my booking on the phone and then I would show up and people would kind of look at me like, is she or isn't she? Like there was like a real thing of like, she's very pale. But that's also really, if you're pale and have green eyes in India, you are like...
The business?
Yeah, the business. Like pale-eyed... Well, most of the Bollywood actresses, the most famous ones, have light eyes and lighter skin. You know, everyone wants to have lighter skin. But my hair is definitely verging on fair as opposed to Indian black.
Yeah.
But I could dye my hair and try my luck next time.
Mm-hmm.
Get your agent to send you up for Bollywood roles.
Yeah.
Make a fucking ton of rupees.
Ton of rupees, which means not as much euros.
Yeah, you need to be a really good singer and dancer and action.
Are you saying Annie isn't?
Well. Yeah, what are you saying?
What?
What are you saying, Mark?
Yeah.
I don't
fight.
What else have you been up to this week, Rory?
You debuted a new sweater.
I did.
Which went down
audience.
A storm.
It did. Yeah. Yeah. It really did.
You even had Connor talking about it a day later.
My wardrobe is blue with a little bit of gray as a complimentary color, and that's it. But I bought a green sweater a while back.
Yeah, but it's a lovely green.
It's
and
a lovely
it,
green
it's
sweater.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it got noticed.
Big success.
Yeah. Moira said that I looked like a silent movie film star.
Yeah, you might have paid her a little lighting, bit to
The
say
lighting
that.
Was quite, yeah, quite
the
subdued.
Lighting, and she may have or may not have had a few glasses of Prosecco.
She did. You know, let's put this in context. But yeah, but the sweater went down very well.
Yeah, it did.
And I'm going to Amsterdam on Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the sweater.
Gonna need some jumpers.
Yeah. To see a lady. Not to smuggle drugs or do anything illicit, but
nobody so would have far, thought that except, so far. Except that so you said far. That you're not. Nobody would have suspected you of that except that you said that you're not. So
We should say that we did a live show on radiomade.ie last week. I haven't managed to get that up as a podcast yet, but we'll hopefully soon. So
we'll be there next week on Tuesday from
half nine till half ten. So yeah, you can email us and be part of the show live if you want to. If you want to have your own say on Rory's jumpers,
yeah, and you can also tweet us.
That's one of the sections in next week's show, by the way.
Rory's jumpers.
Sure will be.
We actually should see if we can get some photos of your wardrobe up online, and then people can comment on it.
Yeah. And I think my wardrobe is reasonably good. I'm not a particularly naff dresser or anything. It's just it's predominantly blue with grays.
It's a uniform.
It's more of a uniform. It's a uni style.
Uniform.
Okay. Uni better taste. I'm joking. I have in no way criticize you.
Yeah. But the green sweater is a good addition. It's a good addition.
It's a really good addition. And
Rob,
I'm proud of
Rob
you.
Rob Bannon will get back in here again.
Mazel tov. We'll have Rob Bannon here fast when we know what to do with.
What else? Oh yeah, speaking of clothes, I don't know if this is an interesting story at all, but this is something I was up
to. But you're gonna tell it.
Yesterday I was trying to buy a suit. And
what?
Well, as listeners of the show may recall, I think I talked about this previously on this show. I was at a wedding last year of Russell Banks. Invited by Davy Banks at the last minute. I went. I had my jacket stolen.
He's naming names, lads, because he is talking to you.
Yeah. I had my jacket stolen by their cousin, Tommy.
Okay.
Tommy.
This has now gotten real. There has been an accusation.
Tommy accidentally took my jacket. But then
he's backed down a little bit.
Has never made any effort to give it back. Nor has Davy, nor has Russell.
But Davy, in fairness to him, lives in a different country.
Well, we're coming for you, Banks. Email his fucking cousin and say, hey, give that man back his jacket, you fucking idiot. You stole his jacket.
Accidentally.
It is Davy Banks' wedding this weekend.
Oh, so you're going to go and sabotage it. You're going to go and sabotage it.
I don't know.
Who's back, bitches?
I currently need a suit to wear to the wedding.
It's an interesting pronunciation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suit.
Shoot.
Suit.
Suit. So you're going to go buy a whole English new mother. Suit.
Yeah.
What is your...
Well, you see, the problem is...
Shirley. Okay, go ahead.
Shirley. The problem, Shirley.
She's always a problem.
Is that... because I've just been building up so much muscle on my stomach, I think it must be, is increasing my waistband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Muscle makes you bulky.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, yeah, I've just been, you know, slowly expanding over the years. And so the trousers that I bought then aren't so comfortable now. The jacket would be fine if I actually still had it.
Well, maybe Tom has been waiting for this moment to present it to you.
Yeah.
But he would have to come with the jacket.
Yeah.
Like, you can't show up.
Oh, he might be wearing the jacket, yeah.
No, but not that.
What if
like,
he shows up wearing your jacket? What's going to happen?
Well, Mark can't show up hoping that that's the moment in which he gets the jacket back.
Yeah.
Because if he's wrong, he still doesn't have a jacket.
So it's probably time I bought a new suit anyway.
And also, like, I think that you should probably just wear suits more often. Like, why not?
Yeah, well, they're kind of cumbersome.
Are they?
Yeah.
I think people look so sharp in suits.
Yeah.
Like, I take your note, which is at Mark, not me, by the way, but... No. But I take your note.
People in general.
I think, well, suits are very, very awkward.
Maybe not suits. Yeah.
Not a suit, but something a bit more formal and a bit more...
But I think that's why, you know, I was having long conversations with Connor, my fiancé, about weddings.
It's a good
and
sign.
Whether we're going to do it. And yeah, we're talking to each other. Yeah, that's something. Just about weddings and why people like going to them or why people have them and all this kind of baloney. And it's all serious stuff that you need to talk about before you agree to enter into this state. But... One of the things was that someone said to me earlier, they were like, people just and it ties into what we were talking about earlier about engagement parties and hens and stags, that people want to dress up and go out and have a good time. And actually, I definitely feel that, but it's not something I would have consciously been able to voice. But it is so nice to go out with your group of friends and have everybody dress up. It does feel like an event, and it is always more fun than just meeting people at a pub on a Friday night. Like, definitely. It definitely ups the level a little bit, and people do, you know, you do look at people and go, wow, you look great in this suit.
Mm-hmm. Look at you.
Yeah.
Conversely,
okay,
I think a lot of women look the worst they will ever look.
That is fair.
Fucking
fake
tan.
Fake tan
has overtaken this
incredible
country.
Incredible amount of makeup. Poorly made makeup. Yeah.
I have a blog post about the Galway races last year, which addresses this issue.
I was just imagining the fake tan. I was like, probably rivers of fake tan. You know,
rivers of fake tan and the almost unbelievably unattractive shoes. Like, they could only be attractive to,
that's
and
exactly
this is, I'm just
going
to go there, only attractive to people, men who want to take advantage, because you can knock someone off those heels so fast and be on them like nobody's business.
The most grotesque day I've
They cannot
had
run away from you in those shoes.
Was maybe six years ago at this point when I went, my cousins are from Tallowen in Waterford, and there's an annual horse fair there. And somehow when I was...
I know it.
You do you?
No.
Okay. I'm good
like
for
that's
you.
That's an Irish thing to say. Oh, I know it.
Somehow, when I was growing up, I managed to avoid going to it. And I didn't actually... I wanted to go because it sounded really amazing. It sounded like really exciting. And finally...
You could have all the refreshers you wanted.
Yeah, and stuff like that. And just like... And there was... My family would come back. Various members would like trinkets and tchotchkes and stuff. Yeah. And it just seemed very, very... Yeah. It seemed fucking cool. So I went... I think it was 2008.
Oh,
I went
as an adult.
As an adult. Oh my god, the horses, it's a horse fair, so the main street, the only street is full of horses, rivers of shit,
yeah.
Horses aren't that impressive, there's stalls, vending stalls that I...
Selling tat.
But no, it's beyond tat, like there were stalls, okay, this is...
There was lesbian sex shows again.
No, there wasn't.
You were told.
There had been,
five horses surrounded now, you had no way of getting it.
This is where...
Come here, do you want to see two female horses getting it on?
This is going to be politically incorrect, but it's a fact, and Moira might take me to task for this, but there were... itinerant vendors there who were selling stuff.
Yeah.
Gypsies, which is fine.
Okay.
But the stuff they were selling was like sub... Romania 1985 merchandise.
Yeah.
Right? Just, you'd be like, what? So you couple that with the rivers.
It's nice that you backed off insulting the travelers and then just went, it was like Romania.
No, but it was like a communist era. Communist
right.
era
yeah.
countries.
Yeah.
Just, you know, in the 80s, and you're like, and it was, the streets were jammers.
People were loving it.
And the pubs were jam packed, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
I know, it is a funny thing, and I agree with you about
But there was a river of shit in the street.
Sorry.
Well, that
I was like, I'm never going back here. Sorry.
There used to be.
I'm not actually.
A big problem is that's why Georgian houses have steps up to them because though it was a huge problem of horse shit was the major pollution problem. It's in the Freakonomics or Super Freakonomics. A book, and they talk about how like there was world conferences on like how are we going to deal with this pollution problem of horse shit everywhere.
Makes sense. You don't think of it.
There was rivers of shit. It became like it used to be really expensive to get a horse shit, but then you managed to get horses became more affordable and they had horses in town. So they didn't know what to do about all this horse shit, and the thing that came along was the car, and that solved the problem.
Way to go, car.
Way
to step in and own it.
And there are no social costs to cars.
Exactly. So the kind of the point in Super Freakonomics is we don't know what the thing is that's going to solve the carbon problem.
See, look, I'm not a world-renowned economist or a scientist.
Mm-hmm. No, but not yet.
Not yet. Yet. But I agree with that. Just on an instinctive level, like people get worked up about... global warming and stuff. I'm like, something's going to happen. We'll be grand.
I know.
Like, we'll be grand.
It is a tempting feeling.
And there's nothing I can do. Like, I can be a conscientious citizen, and
yeah.
for the most part, I am.
Yeah.
Part from the lesbian sex shows.
Damn.
They are not that far.
But that's not really, you're not really, you know, you maybe shouldn't travel to London for them. Maybe you should seek them out right in your own city.
Yeah.
Seeing the women of Dublin. Sorry. That's good. Anyway, so yeah, but I don't feel, I'm not really too pushed about global warming is the upshot.
Okay.
I think it's important to try and slow down as much as possible and just hope, just hope.
But also I think, you know, Ireland's kind of a good place to be. I think Ireland's only going to benefit. My dad used to say when first things started happening, the town that I grew up in, when we moved back from LA in Connecticut, is known as the Icebox of Connecticut because it's one of the highest, it's the highest town in Connecticut, which is not very high, but high enough. And so dad was like, global warming is going to be great for us because in about 50 years, we're going to be on, like, we're going to have, like, the beachside villas. Mm. Like, we're going to be the last to go, so we're going to have it good.
I also do feel that there is a human disposition towards fearing the worst. Like, kind of like a low-grade mass hysteria. It's not hysteria. If you think about the Y2K... Mm. Like, alarm, like, everything was...
But that wasn't
grand.
Based in
Nothing.
Scientific fact, though.
What's that?
Like, global warming is based more in scientific fact.
Well, no, it totally was, because it was all about how the clocks wouldn't align, which is totally scientific.
I mean,
mathematics in the world of reason.
Yeah.
Like, it was grand.
It was grand. Well, I think, climate change, as it is, not global warming... is the most likely of those cataclysmic things, but there are a lot of
I guess
hyped things like avian flu and swine flu and killer bees and all these things that roll
killer bees.
Remember that?
Yeah. It was like back
acid rain.
That was a thing, though. Chocolate. It was grand.
Yeah, chocolate, but I remember being in LA and really thinking that people were really like, if
it was rain of acid.
It was going to be that we were all going to fizzle up and die.
Like hydrochloroxic sulfate.
And it's because it doesn't rain enough. And
I made that up. It's a chemical I made up. If any of you are chemists out there, don't go.
Not a world famous scientist yet.
Well, that's going to be my invention.
It's coming. It is coming.
Well, on that bombshell,
I
hope you've enjoyed this week's ramble. It was very unstructured, but, you know.
I think we came up with some very amusing stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please, audience listener, text in if you liked it.
Yeah.
And tune in next week from 9:30 to 10:30.
On Tuesday.
On radiomade.com.
IE.ie.
It's .ie?
Yeah.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah, we're certain.
It's radiomade.ie. From 9:30 to 10:30, and then you can be an active participant in our podcast, and we would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
And especially if you've got a lesbian sex show you want to plug.
Yeah. I will come and review it.
Or if you want us to show up at your stags, hens, or weddings, Canton will have a new suit by then, so we'll be ready to go.
Yeah, we will.
And we are great on the dance floor. And Rory has a new jumper.
Yes, I do.
And I bought a new lipstick.
I'll be singing a certain Sultans of Ping FC song.
Yeah, and I can rap all of Men in Black. So basically book us.
Yeah, seriously, folks. If you are looking to book me as a stripper, do get in touch.
Yeah, 2-for-1 offer. It's worth it.
Peace out, folks. Peace out.
Bye.
Fuck you. The Goose.